couple times, and we'll even go to Matthew chapter 16. Simple message. I only got 3 points. So, title this message, "The Lord is My Shepherd." Psalm 23, David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd." David is known as the Shepherd King. A little boy taken from the shepherd's field. He knew what it was to be a shepherd, and he knew what it was to be a sheep. He knew what it took for a shepherd to love the sheep the way they're supposed to. I hope you leave here today knowing what it takes for God to be your shepherd and knowing that He loves you. If you don't know that God loves you, you don't know God. The word that's used for the word shepherd in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," is a word called Rohi. In the Old Testament, they called God Jehovah Rohi, the God, my shepherd. What a powerful name. Man, I love that. When I read this, I understand how much God loves me because He calls me the Lord, the God shepherd. And I'm going to get into that in a minute, just how important that is. To have sheep, you got to pay for them. To have sheep, you got to pay for them. In John chapter 10, verse 11, it says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." That's exactly what it cost for the shepherd to purchase you. The shepherd paid for you with his blood, with his shed blood at Calvary. That's what it cost. That's what it cost for every single person in this room to have your sins paid for while you were yet an enemy of his. Golly, that should make every one of y'all want to shout every once in a while that God loved you before you loved Him. Well, before we talk about what He paid and how He paid, let's talk about who He had to get us from. I like to think about this when I was reading about this week. I realized what shepherd I belonged to before I belonged to the good one. I belonged to a shepherd who didn't really care about sheep. See, this man who wrote a book, "God is My Shepherd," he said he lived next door. He was a shepherd, and he lived next door to a man that was a shepherd who really didn't love his sheep. He didn't take care of them. He didn't feed them right. He didn't take care of their pasture. He didn't take care of their personal. He didn't take care of the things that were important. And I started thinking about the devil and how he used to run my life. And I was his sheep. And he had let me eat on anything I wanted to eat on. He'd let me intake, ingest. He would let me dine on anything that I wanted to. He didn't care if it was good for me or bad for me. Is there anybody in here who the devil lets you feed where you shouldn't have been feeding? And I did that for 30 years. And I didn't even know I was dying. I didn't even know that what I was taking in was killing me. I had a shepherd who didn't care what I drank. I could drink whatever I wanted to drink. I could drink from waters that he told me not to drink from, God did. But the evil shepherd, the devil, said, you can drink whatever you want to drink. I know you came to church to hear another message about you shouldn't drink. I'm not going to tell you there's rules, but I'm going to tell you this. When you eat the things and you ingest the things and you drink the things of the world, you'll get the results that they get. You'll get what they get. You might get away for a little while. You might seem like you're gaining. You might seem like you're smarter. You might seem like you're better. You might seem like, man, this shepherd is good because he lets us just go and do whatever we want to do. Until you get to the point where you can't go and you can't do for yourself anymore. I know that don't fit here. That don't fit here. We're all spiritual. We're spiritual here. We don't worry about drinking. We don't worry about drugs. We don't worry about lust. We don't worry about sin here. We're so spiritual, it don't even matter, brother. Why are you even touching on those subjects? That doesn't belong here. I have a feeling it does. And some of y'all are sitting here, well, maybe it's in the youth. I have a feeling maybe it's in some of our adults. Maybe it's some of our older adults. Some of it's in our middle-aged adults. And yeah, maybe it's with our teens too, but they're only watching what they're seeing and they're only doing what they know to do. A good shepherd didn't care if you got covered in parasites. He didn't get close enough to you to worry about what you were covered in. Some of y'all are covered in mess. And it's weighting you down and it's hurting you and it's biting you and it's bothering you. I started thinking about kids today and some of the people who commit suicide and who cut themselves and wound themselves. And you think, yeah, well, that's a new thing, brother. That's new. No, it's an old thing. See, there's a scripture about a man who's a demonic man who sat in the tombs and he cut himself. And I think because his shepherd at that time hated him so much, he didn't mind if he cut himself. Yeah, I know why I'm preaching. Y'all just hang with me. He said, why are they cutting themselves? And I started thinking about it. I think if you cut yourself and hurt yourself and mutilate yourself and do things like that, what you're trying to do is you're trying to get the thing that's killing you on the inside out. And you think, somehow I can get this thing out of me. But there's only one way to get it out, and that's to get the shepherd in. See, that demonic man, he sat on that tomb and he's sitting there going, I would love to get these out. I would love to get them out of me. I'm cutting. I'm hurting myself. See, some of you, your shepherd is allowing you to hurt yourself because you think if you hurt yourself, somehow you'll feel better. But the only way to feel better is to let the shepherd in, the good shepherd. See, what he does is he don't wound. He goes in and he takes the old shepherd and all of his behaviors out, and he replaces it with good. See, a lot of times when I was lost and I was following the old shepherd, I thought God's rules were hard. Can I preach the way I really want to preach this morning? I hope I'm not just jumping around and missing everybody. I want you to get this. I started thinking over the last couple of weeks, I'm like, why church? Why should I even go to church? Why should I even belong to a church? Well, God wants us to go to church. Have you ever felt like that? God just wants us to go there. Do you think God would just give you something that doesn't have any benefit? See, the reason you have a church is because there's people in here that will be closer to you than family. In the last few weeks, I figured that out. Because on my darkest days and my hard days, I turned around and a lot of the people that were there for me were people that go to this church. And they didn't have to be. And you'll find when you're going through your hardest time and your darkest time, a lot of times you'll turn around and it'll be somebody from this church who will be there for you. You know why? Because that's what church is about. God didn't want you to come to church to hear all the rules and the regulations and that you have to make it on this time and you better be this time. It's there where you can connect and have a relationship that's deeper than you could ever imagine. I started thinking about it from a pastoral standpoint. When you're sick, somebody will come visit you. Wouldn't you want them to know you? When you're dying and somebody's going to stand up and give your words, wouldn't you want it to be somebody who knew you? I started thinking about, man, all the benefits of church. You're missing it if you think you have to come here. You don't even know what you're missing if you don't know why you come here. God is so good that he gives you a church, a healthy church. There's going to be some crazy stuff in it. There's going to be some hypocritical things in it. There's going to be some things that make you scratch your head and go, why in the world? But when you're really hurting and you really need God, there's a place that you can come into like this one. And listen, every once in a while, you can crawl on this altar, and you know what? You'll begin to pray and cry out to God, and that's another benefit of church. But guess what? Usually, most of the time, there'll be somebody else who crawls up on that altar beside you because they either went through it or know somebody who has went through it and are praying when they go through it that they'll be able to help you and you'll be able to help them. Never. I'm preaching everything I know about church. The Lord is my shepherd. I had a wicked shepherd for a long time, and I didn't even know how to eat. But I finally got saved, and the good shepherd took over my life. And I realized, first and foremost, he knows how to feed you. He knows how to feed you. See, what the devil does is he feeds you stuff that doesn't last and doesn't matter. It's easy in, easy out. Has no substance. First thing I did when I got saved, I got a hold of this book right here. It was in New Testament form. I remember I worked at a place called Shaw W.E., and I got a copy of this book right here, and I'd just been saved for a while, and then I opened it up and began to read it, and I remember looking around to the left and the right and going, does anybody know that life is an open book test, and all the answers are here? Amen? And he knows how to feed you, because then he gets radical people who spend time in this book to preach into your life, and things that you don't understand and things you don't grasp, all of a sudden somebody will get in a pulpit or on the street or in a place, preach and open up things that you didn't know were even there. I remember one time I was reading the book of Leviticus, and it was drier than cornbread in the desert. I've been reading it for months, and I'm like, God, help me. This is dreadfully dry. Some of y'all are so spiritual, you wouldn't say things are dry. How was that? It was great. And I was like, God, I'm not getting this. You've got to do something, Lord. I'm not having these explosions in the Word. I need to know something. And I was riding down the road, and all of a sudden I tuned in, and David Jeremiah says, I'm gonna preach about the book of Leviticus. It's a very dry subject. And I was like, amen, brother, you're right. He said, can I take the whole book and just melt it down into one thing for you? He said, the blood of bullocks, sheep, and goats, and doves for thousands and thousands of years were slain, and the blood would fill rivers and oceans. That's how much blood it was. Amen? But he said, and then there was a man named Jesus. One drop of his blood was greater than all the blood that was shed in all of Leviticus for all of time, for all of sin. And I sat there and thought, my God, you just made Leviticus come alive! God knows how to feed you. And he just explained to me how great a price my Savior paid for me. See, when one drop of Jesus' blood dripped out of his veins, fell off his skin, touched the ground, it said the fountain is open and salvation is available. One drop would be enough to save the whole world. And that's what it cost for your sins to be purchased. One day you were up on the auction block. One day you were up on the auction block. Here we have a sinner, broken all of God's commandments, all of God's laws, cursing, lying, thieving, adulterers at heart. Oh, they've watched pornography. Oh, they've drank alcohol. Oh, they've done drugs. Oh, they cheated on their wife. Oh, they're liars. Oh, who would purchase them? The blood cries out, I will. I will. I will. I'll bid on them. What are you willing to offer for these sinners? The shed blood, the most precious thing of heaven, the royal diadem of glory. I'll plead the blood of Jesus for their purchase. See, he is a shepherd, but you can't be a shepherd without sheep, and you can't have sheep unless you buy them. And guess what? He bought you. He picked you. Could you imagine you running through the little stalls of life? Him going, that one. Gotta have that one. Gotta have that one. Oh, gotta have that one. I'm thinking, no, you don't want this one. I'm a bad sheep. I don't belong in the fold. I'm that one. I'm the 99. I'm that one that got loose and wandered on the backside of the hills. God, that gets me every single time, brother. It gets me every time. It says he left the 99 to go get the one. God, never. Can y'all see that? Can you see him putting them all in the sheepfold? Looking over at the Holy Spirit and saying, now you watch these. They won't do a whole lot of jumping and fighting and biting, but just watch them. I got to go get somebody. Who? That one. Where do you think it is? Probably in the darkest, weirdest place you could ever imagine. A place that nobody else, y'all better have, a place where nobody else wants to go. Who are you going to send after him? Shepherd. Can you hear him? Coming through the woods, coming through the hills, coming through the valleys. Oh, y'all like that spiritual stuff. Coming through the dope house. Coming through the bars. You know, the honky-tonks, the clubs. Coming through the places where you used to hang out instead of coming to God. He'd come to the Walmart. Huh? Some of y'all used to go to Walmart because you'd go over there on Sunday and they wouldn't be the church crowd, right? Go to the restaurants. He'll go to the restaurants. You know, God still's trying to save waitress and waitresses on Sunday. They're serving, they're working, they're slaving. But every once in a while, he'll send some radical bunch in there to eat on Sunday. And they'll be so filled up with God, they'll just pour out onto the waitress. And the next thing you know, the waitress will be sitting there shouting and crying and weeping. I knew I should have been in church, but I couldn't afford my bills. And the church has always been hypocritical to me. And they're the worst ones to serve on Sunday because they don't tip right. They don't act right. And they're always mad and ill. And they're worrying about why don't nobody come to their church. Some of y'all say, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Wished I didn't. But every once in a while, somebody will say, you know what? God's so good. He loves you. He loves you. And every once in a while, they'll look at their bill and they'll say, God, my bill's like 40 bucks. But I feel like giving this girl 50. I feel like giving this guy 50. Just to let them know it wasn't about the bill. It wasn't about the meal. It's about Jesus. Some of y'all need to learn how to act out in public. Never mind. I better, y'all don't like when I do that, do you? Because you, a lot of times when we go to church on Sunday, it's about us. And we just broke out of church where it was all about him, but all of a sudden now it's all about us. Never mind. Come on, hey, would you please go on with the message and stop preaching about how we act out in front of other people? You don't know how bad a service I got. You don't know how they mess it up. Yeah, but guess what? You don't know the circumstances of the people that are working there. And if God would use you just to say a kind word, even though you didn't get what you wanted. Now, oh, stop. Hey, save some for revival, friend. Listen, I don't know how to cut it off and cut it on. If I knew how to tamper it down, if I knew how to quit, I would, but I can't. So you won't have enough energy. I don't know if I will or not. I'm just going to keep on rolling with it. I'm still on point number one for all you that are counting. Some of y'all smiled. 3 points. Every point's got 6 sub-points. To have sheep, you got to purchase sheep. And when you get your sheep, you got to mark your sheep. Amen? I was when I was studying and reading this, it's really neat. What happens is the shepherds of that time would take and they loved their sheep. Oh, I wish I could preach this. I'm not a very good preacher. I wish I could preach this, but what happens is the shepherd, what he does is these sheep that he loves so much. Come on, he'll be all right. I ain't hurt you. These sheep that he loves so much, and he saved from all hell and everything disgusting and all the junk and all the... See, there comes a little hurt with your salvation. There comes a little pain with coming into the kingdom. It's like birthing pain. So, see, what happened is Jesus saves them, but then he got to mark them. So that same shepherd would have to sit down with the sheep, right? He would sit down with the sheep and put it between his legs and hold its shoulders and maybe its head up there, and he would take its ear, real tender place on its ear, and he would carve his mark into the ear of the sheep. That way, when everybody seen his sheep, no matter where it was, they'd say, that sheep belongs to Jesus. The mark, I believe, that Jesus puts on his people is the mark of the cross. In Matthew 16:24-26 says that, and Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. You get that? Let's go back to verse 24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Sounds like sheep to me, right? Can I give you another benefit about being a shepherd? A shepherd leads, he doesn't follow. All right, check this out. He marks them. He marks them. He sits there and he has to carve out them sheep. I wish I could preach this way. You wouldn't need it. The sheep would be sitting there, and all of a sudden they're like, man, the good shepherd's feeding me, and he's taking care of me. He's got rid of the bugs and the mites and all the junk in my life. But now, all of a sudden, he's got me, and he's cutting on me. Woo, glory. Has God done any cutting on you? If he hadn't, you better check up and see if he's yours. Because guess what? God likes to cut some things out of your life, and it's painful. See, when God gets in your life, he gives you a cross. And your cross ain't my cross, and my cross ain't your cross. You hear me? So stop trying to get everybody to carry your cross. You carry your cross. And if somebody comes alongside of you that carries the same cross you carry, enjoy that you got somebody with you that carries your kind of cross. Otherwise, carry your cross and shut up. That's politically correct as I can get. Carry your cross. Take up your cross. You'll be identified by your cross. People will understand that you're one of God's sheep because the cross that you carry, and nobody will understand why you're carrying that because it's costing you everything. It's costing you friendships. It's costing you jobs. It's costing you relationships. It's cost you money. It's cost you financial freedom. It's cost you everything. And everybody keeps saying, well, why don't you just give that up? And you're saying, I can't give it up. I don't want to give it up. It's who I am. It's the shepherd carved into me. It's my cross. It's my identity. That's who I am. Never mind. Y'all shout a bunch every once in a while? Or is this just so good you can't? I got to keep quiet. I'm trying to figure it out. Aren't you glad that he marks you? Aren't you glad that a cross to me is more than what just hangs around my neck? It's more than just a symbol. It's what he did for me. See, Jesus was cut on the cross, so when he puts it on me, I'm all right with it. See, there was a time when the disciples, I love this story, the disciples were preaching in his name. And they went before the religious council and they set them up there and they couldn't figure out what else to do with them. They said, you know what we'll do? We'll beat them and let them go. Some of us, we got to beat them. Well, we wouldn't know how to act. Not a spiritual beating, not a emotional beating. I'm talking about somebody strips you off your back and beats you to your bleeding. Beating. Amen. Him old boys got beat, and they're like, that'll put an end to him right there. They all got up and were walking down the street going, can you believe that? We got to suffer for Jesus. I mean, we got some marks on our back now for Jesus. This is awesome. I'm going somewhere and preaching tonight. Are you crazy? Yes. I'm crazy about this. Because if you can suffer for Christ, praise God, you're as close to being a Christian as you'll ever be. Because guess what? It ain't about everybody liking you and everybody thinking you're great. It's about God thinking you're great and Him marking you with the cross. You're His. Can I help you today? Well, the last point, I'll help y'all. This is an important point. He buys His sheep. He marks His sheep. And this is one I just added in there because I thought it was cool. Let's go back to John chapter 10. He keeps His sheep. Man, I don't know. Never mind. I needed to hear that. He keeps His sheep. See, he chose me. I didn't choose Him. Y'all don't like that, but the Spirit of God comes after you. He pursues you. Now listen, I'm going to spend most of my life, go back to John chapter 10, verse 25. But listen, I'm going after that thing that apprehended me. That's what Paul says. That's what I say. I say it a little bit different. That thing that knocked me down and saved me, I'm going to chase that thing until the day that I die. Or until I can't chase no more. Amen? It's like a real good game of tag. He knocked me down, apprehended me, saved me, put His Spirit in me, and sent me. And then the rest of my life, I'm going after that thing. I'm trying to catch Him. I'm trying to pursue Him. I'm trying to pay Him back. But I know absolutely I had nothing to do with it other than Him loving me with a love that wouldn't cease. Hallelujah, preacher, that was good. If you're not saved this morning, do you know God's pursuing you with a love that He won't quit? You know, He's been chasing you your whole life. And He won't give up and He won't quit until the day that you die. And then when you stand before Him in judgment, you'll have to recount every time and every way. And you say, well, when was one of them? Name one, brother. What's the date? Is it the 22nd? Is it April 22nd? Is it around about 12 o'clock right now? Here's one of them. He come all the way up here on Flat Top Mountain to tell you once again that He paid for you, He'll mark you, and guess what? He'll keep you if you let Him. Stop running from Him. Stop running from Him. Stop forsaking the best thing that'll ever happen to you. Because if He'll ever catch you, mark you, He'll keep you. Some of you don't like this, but this is going to be good. Jesus answered and said, I told you. And you believe not the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Listen to this. And I give unto them. You might want to underline, highlight, and do some radical stuff right there, okay? Come on. Are you ready? Verse 28, listen. And I give. Whew. Huh? And I give unto them eternal life. It don't say they earned it. They didn't say they picked it. They didn't say they're continually getting it. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No man. If you're saved, no man. I'm going to read this verse again. I give unto them eternal life. They didn't get it. I gave it. It's a gift. And they shall never perish. God, if you're saved this morning, you should be doing a dance in your mind right now. I'm not going to die. This body will expire, but this spirit will live on. Golly bum. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No, it said any man. Not even this man. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you spiritual giant. Just listen to me. He gave it. He gave you eternal life. And He said, you can't be put. Can I just get all spiritually doctrinal with you? Does anybody in here believe that you received the Holy Spirit after you've been saved? Do y'all believe that the Holy Spirit, do you believe that Jesus said, after I go, you may receive the Comforter? Do you believe that He was talking about every believer receives the Comforter of the Holy Spirit? Okay, I thought so because I do too. Okay? So guess what? All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit now resides in me. Why in the world would the Holy Spirit ever say, you know what? God's not real. Why would one part of the Godhead that now dwells in you want to say, you know what? I'm ready to quit. That's D-U-M-B. That's dumb. That's just dumb. That all of a sudden God gets in you, and then God would somehow say, I don't want to be in here no more, and I don't believe heaven's real. Listen, the Holy Spirit is a comforter. His whole job is to comfort you that heaven is so real that it's more real than where you're at. Golly bum. Y'all ready? So He's keeping you right, and He's got you in His hand. I wish it got worse, but it gets better. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I don't understand this sometimes. I don't understand why we don't have shouting fits up in here every once in a while. God said, I give you life, give you eternal life. I give it to you. Amen? Then He says, I put you. Then He says, you'll never perish. Those are both shouters. I'll tell you. You missed them both. Shout, shout. Here's the third shouter, right? Then you're in His hand. And no man can pluck you out. So nobody can get you out of God's hand. Another shouter. Sorry. We're about four shouters in and nobody's shouting. But then He says, He goes on top of that. And He says, my Father's hand. He goes, man, my Father are one, but you're in a two-ply deal. You're in God's hand. You're in my hand. So don't worry about where you're going. You're not going nowhere. You're mine. I purchased you. I've marked you. And I'm going to keep you. That's why when people come, you've got to do this, you need to do that. Listen, what you need to do is you need to get saved. And the need-tos will come from that. The want-tos will come from that. Amen? There's a boldness in that too. Because he says, my sheep know me and they follow me. I know my shepherd's voice. Do you? I know it. Amen? I've had a lot of people come to me and say, Kevin, here's what you need to do. And I'll go, no, that's not the shepherd. That's old so-and-so. Good advice, but not the shepherd. Kevin, if I were you, this is what I would do. If you were, maybe that's what we would do. But God's telling me to do something totally different than that. And that's what absolutely we're going to do, because the shepherd knows how to lead. You know what the shepherd will do to you sometimes? He'll take you up a path. Betsy, come on, they won't think I'm about to get done if you don't come up here to the piano. Come on. Listen, you know what the shepherd will do to you sometimes? Here's what the shepherd will do to you sometimes. The shepherd will take you to a mountain face. Right? You know, have all kinds of rock and jagged edges. Sometimes the shepherd, he'll lead you and everybody else. I mean, all the other shepherds are going down the big old wide broad path. Man, they're having the greatest time in the world. But here you stand in front of a mountain that has no path. Hey, Lord. Hey, Lord. Shepherd. I'm following you, but we are standing directly in front of a mountain. And you said if I had the faith the size of a mustard seed, mountain, get in the ocean. Has anybody ever prayed for a mountain to move and didn't move? What's this? God, you must think higher of me than I think of myself. Because we're standing at a mountain here and it won't move. And you won't let me leave. So what do you want me to do? And God said, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to change your feet. See, I'm going to make your feet like hinds' feet. This mountain ain't moving, but I'm going to give you the ability to climb it. God, come on, help me. While everybody else went the easy way, I felt the Holy Spirit. While everybody else is going the easy way, I'm going to have it. I'm going to have you climb and hang on and sweat and deep breaths and begging for water and begging for food and wondering why, but you're going to keep climbing. But once you get to the top of where I want you to climb to, you'll lift both of your hands and say, Shepherd's good. Because the climb made me who I am. And the climb let me see who God was. And not everybody could have come up this way. But I'm glad He let me come up this way. Some of y'all should thank God every once in a while that He didn't let you just go the easy way. Because He's a good shepherd. And He wanted to get some stuff out of you on the climb. And He wanted to get some stuff in you. Oh, that's about 35 more minutes and they can't do that. See, on that climb, see a good climb. Come on, Keith, Rebecca, somebody. On a good climb, it'll get rid of some stuff in you. Right? God, come on. You know what I'm saying? You'll start getting rid of some stuff. That's too heavy. That's too much. I'll get it on the way back. What if somebody steals it? I don't care. But it puts some stuff in you. Oh, the memories. Oh, the fight. The fight to climb. I was so tired. I was so wounded. I was so hurt. I was so mad. I was so frustrated. So, golly. I thought about turning back. I thought about going down, but thank God I got to where I am with God today. As we stand, God's dealt with your heart at all. Come pray.